It's good to see all of you here this morning. We'd like to extend a special welcome to those that are visiting with us. The Lord has truly blessed us in this day, not just giving us another day of life, another opportunity to serve Him, but so many blessings around us that it would be almost impossible to try to count them all. But I hope that you're mindful of the many blessings that God continues to bestow upon us, not the least of which is His grace upon those that would enter into that covenant with Him. Would like to also say Happy Mother's Day to the mothers in our audience. Our society has chosen one particular day a year in order to recognize mothers, but I think all of us understand that they deserve a lot more recognition, respect, and love than certainly one day a year might provide. The Lord has also blessed us in that relationship as well. Those differences that are between us that enable us to work together. And when Eve was made for Adam in order to be a helpmeet for him, I recognize that God made something truly special. And so, husbands, I hope that you cherish your wives in that relationship and in those differences as well. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In Acts chapter 2, there is a fellowship that is mentioned that is referred to in regard to their sharing of material things when Christians had need. We see that later on, verse 44, verse 45, into chapter 4, and it continues on in other instances in which there were needs that needed to be fulfilled. But New Testament fellowship is not limited to benevolence. It entails the cooperative effort of every member in a local church. It literally is a working together for a purpose, that purpose being the will of God. And so our purpose this morning is to understand the nature of fellowship, and we're going to start with things that tend to get in the way of fellowship, things that can prevent us from truly working together the way that we should, the way that God intended. And so let's talk about the idea of hindering this fellowship and this working. And I think one of those is just to have too much formality. Now we come together. We come together to worship. We come together to study the Word of God, to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, to sing praises, to teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We do this arriving dressed, presumably, better than you do other days of the week. We wear what we might say our Sunday best. We try to be dignified. We try to be serious about the things that we do because there is a reverence that is needed when we worship the Lord our God. But it can also be very easy to lose sight of the fact that we are to be a close-knit family at all times, even in a reverent occasion. And so we should allow our concern for one another, our love for one another, our caring toward one another to shine through even in the formality of a structured assembly in the way that we are here today. And that's a good thing that can come from visiting before and after services. How are you doing? How are things going? You told me about such and such. How is that going? How are you doing in this regard or that regard? Or maybe even communicating to somebody else, hey, I've got this going on. I sure could use your prayers. I sure could use some assistance in this regard. We need to be communicating with one another and building those ties. And also need to make sure that we don't become cliquish in any way. You know, we have a tendency to gravitate toward people that we have the most in common with. Let us make sure that we do not overlook anyone within our number that might not be having a lot of those things in common with us. They still need our concern and our love. And so we have an opportunity when we meet together and in other occasions to just build those relationships in such a way that we can truly then be able to work together for the building up of the body and accomplishing the will of God. But along those same lines is thinking about being at those assemblies. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. I made mention recently about habits, about how easily we develop habits. We get in the habits of certain things. I talked to you about my morning routine at that time. Another habit I have is Mondays, which is, you know, the day that I try to refresh myself. I take a day off after Sunday. But there's a lot of little things I've got to do. On Mondays, we go and get groceries, and we do a couple of other little chores and different things. There's certain things that I'm accustomed to, and sometimes that gets upset, and then I feel a little out of sorts because my habits have been pushed aside or moved in some way. We kind of get ingrained in certain ways and certain things, and that habit can be, I am always at services, or our habits can be changed little by little, and after a while we realize it is more my habit to not be there than it is to be there. We need to be very careful about the habits that we develop. The more opportunities that we take to build that relationship with one another, the closer and more productive that fellowship would be. But that fellowship and those relationships will not happen if you're not with the Lord's people, if you're neglecting to meet together. Too often there are members that show up just before the service begins and are back out the door very quickly after the service ends. When you do that, there is no developing ties with others, there is no encouraging others, and there is no being encouraged in that relationship that you can build with others because it doesn't happen. We need to go out of our way to make sure if we see any among our number that develop that type of habit, that we look for ways to build that relationship. I understand some people have problems with being in groups and those types of things. I'm not overlooking that, but the relationships are so direly needed. And the teaching that we do here, that we engage with in Bible classes and in lessons, is designed to give every member a full understanding of what the Lord's will is, and along with that, what this congregation stands for as the pillar and support of the truth in this community. And when we miss services on a constant basis, it's possible for us to lose touch with the identity of us as Christians and of the congregation that we are a part of. To prevent that from happening, we should view, you know, every time that we gather together, every scheduled assembly, as an extension of what we do here on Sunday morning. That means that Sunday night is an extension of what we are doing right now. The Bible class that we had before this service was a preparation, yes, study and understanding, but a preparation for what we're doing right now. Wednesday night, likewise, is a continuing study and refreshing of our minds to recharge our spiritual batteries that we might finish out the week and be ready to come back on Sunday morning. All the services of the local congregation are needful, are important. We should view all of them as an opportunity for us as a family to come together for a spiritual meal, if you will, as to strengthen not only the inner man, but that spiritual bond that we have with one another. And so, having said that, we have those that are not able to gather with us, that are shut in. It may have medical conditions that are going on that are keeping them temporarily away from services. That means that we, as those who are able, need to make an extra special effort to encourage, to help, and to build that spiritual bond with those individuals as well. Just because they are not here physically with us in this building does not take away the fact that they are to be a part of this spiritual family. And we should have that care for one another. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The next one I want to talk about is that lack of care for every single member. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24 says, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You know what one of the more difficult things is? That those two things might be happening at the same time. You have one member that is suffering while you have another member that is rejoicing. And let's be honest for a moment. We'd rather rejoice than suffer, right? And so we're going to gravitate toward the happier member. We're going to want to be involved there, but we must not overlook the suffering member. And make no mistake, brothers and sisters, today we have suffering members. We have those that need us to suffer with them, to help them, to encourage them, to lift them up so that maybe tomorrow can be the rejoicing. We need to make sure that we have care for every member. Again, that includes the shut-ins. But maybe you look around and you realize that there's a few of our members that are not always here. Or maybe even a member that has been missing for a while. Let us not forget. Let us do everything possible to help every part of the Lord's body as we can. God knows every single one of us. He knows what every single one of us is capable of doing. And He puts us together in this body, this spiritual body together, so that we might work together in that fellowship and that we might accomplish His will. And He greatly honors those members who are usually given very little honor, and He bestows that honor upon them through the service of other members. We then show honor to every part of the body when we show that concern for every member of that body. And so then we must have the same care for one another. Even if you are the one being served, you can have the same care for those who are serving you as they have for you. When this kind of concern between members lacks, then fellowship suffers. But another way that fellowship can be hindered is personality issues. I put clashes on there, but it doesn't have to be a clash. It can just be kind of a, you know, just a differing in personality to where I just don't get along as well with one person as I might with another. I already talked about that in terms of gravitating toward one whom we might have more in common, but we tend to also kind of push back from somebody that maybe has a personality that is an opposite of ours. That it tends to be like magnets with the same poles that push away from each other. Anytime you have a personality conflict with a brother or sister within the Lord's body, try to remember that that person is still a child of God. They still need love. They still need encouragement. They are still valuable. We should still honor them with care for one another. And they are just as important to the Lord as you are. There are times when the person that we are needs to be different. We might open up the Word of God and realize that some things aren't as important as we thought they were. And so we begin to change personality aspects. We begin to change the way that we look at other people. Let us make sure that we are changing in the right way to have more love and more care and more concern for each other rather than less. And that's one of the reasons why we study God's Word. Is because God is molding us. We are the lump of clay. Through His Word, He is helping to change us into what He intends for us. And we need to allow that to happen. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. When fellowship is disturbed by personality issues, then a worldly wisdom takes over, and that spiritual wisdom is then set aside, and it weakens the fellowship. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, James chapter 3 and verse 13, He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Look, he says, if you're going to develop a worldly attitude again, after you've been converted, after you've been shown a better way, you go back into that worldly attitude, and it is going to create a problem because every vile practice will be the result. Fellowship does not exist in that environment. The will of God is not accomplished in that environment. We must set aside those worldly matters and embrace that which is spiritual, and it will bring that which is good, that which is impartial, sincere, peaceable, and gentle. But we also need to realize that if we have dissimilar goals, that can become a problem too. And I'm not talking about personal goals. I'm not talking about career goals. I'm talking about what your goal is in life. What is your goal in life? We have all chosen to become Christian. We have all chosen to follow the will of God. That should be our goal in life. But sometimes we lose sight of that goal. Sometimes we become blinded by the things of this world so much so that we stop focusing on that goal. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of simply going through the motions of serving God, because we are so distracted by something else that our heart's not really in it. We lose that goal of accomplishing the will of God in our lives. And the Christian life is such that each Christian ought to understand the goals of the Christian life. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, "As for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior." Okay, take that last statement and put it as the title for the whole thing, the whole section, "that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior." That's a goal. That's a goal for the Christian life. And that means that there are certain things I want to develop in my spiritual life and in my personal life. I want to be self-controlled. I want to be dignified. I certainly want to be sound in faith and in love and in steadfastness. Our women, likewise, because they want to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior, would be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to much wine, teaching what is good, training younger women to love their husbands and children, being self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind. You see how we have that goal, and then we have everything that supports that goal. But when we set that goal aside, then we no longer do the activity that supports that goal. And if we allow the goals of careers, hobbies, entertainment, or just personal development, if we put those before that goal of adorning the doctrine of God, then we stop the activity. We lose sight of what we're doing. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means each and every day that I live, there is a sacrificial offering of my service, devotion, faith, and love toward God. This is holy and acceptable to God, and it is our spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. If you find yourself getting distracted by other goals, maybe we need to do like some of the life coaches that go out there and talk about. We need to verbalize our goals. We need to write down our goals. Maybe you need to write down, my goal is to live a sacrifice to the Lord each and every day. Maybe I need to put that up on my mirror. Maybe I need that on a post-it note in the car. Maybe I need that on a note on the front of my Bible. I need something to remind myself that that is what today is for. Is to live a life unto God. He gave me the breath that I am breathing right now. He gave me this day to serve Him. Do not lose sight of the ultimate goal that we have of being a child of God, so that one day we could be welcomed home. And so that leads us into thinking about the way of fellowship. We've talked about things that hinder it. Let's talk about things that promote it, that promote the fellowship of the saints in the work of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's talk about fervent love and hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7 says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." Somewhere along the way, we have gotten into our minds, at least in this country, that hospitality is having someone in my living room or having someone over for a meal. I think that a broader understanding is needed, that when he says hospitality, he's supporting the loving one another. So that hospitality could be presented in a number of ways, but the underlying message is serve one another. Serve one another for the good of each other. And so it is fulfilling some need. We need to have that fervent love and that care and concern and service toward one another in order to promote this fellowship that we are to be engaged in one with another. Caring for all the members that are around us. We already read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but just to think about it for one more moment, God has composed the body. He made every single one of us. There is no person that is incapable of becoming a child of God. There is no person alive that is incapable of being forgiven, repenting of their sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, and being obedient to Him through faith. And so every single person then would end up in the body, working together. There should not be any divisions, any clashes. There should be one goal, one purpose, one mind, because we have one Lord and one faith. And so then we have that care for one another in such a way that we want all of the body to be healthy. We want all of the body to be okay. And with that thought in mind, what do you do when you hurt yourself? Outside building something, nailing away, hit your thumb. What are you going to do? I'm going to grab that thumb. Depending on how bad it is, I'm going to be doing something to rectify the pain and the damage that is in that thumb. So extrapolate that spiritually. When there's one of us that is hurting,
We need to rally around them. We need to show the care for one another. We need to take hold of them. Take care of them. Try to help with the damage. That is the care that we have one another with one another. And then when it's over, we can rejoice. We can rejoice in the steadfast faithfulness of the one whom we assisted in coming through that moment of suffering. And this may seem obvious, but we need to be in prayer for one another on a regular basis. James 5:16, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. Part of that discussion with each other of what's going on in our lives, what difficulties we might be handling, what rejoicings we might have, is so that we might pray. And I realize we put a prayer list in the bulletin. I do my best to try to update it. I'm forgetful sometimes. Sometimes we don't get updates quite as regularly as we would like, and so we don't get that updated. But we need to be doing our individual efforts as well. Don't rely on, well, they weren't listed in the bulletin, so I guess I'm not going to pray for them. Don't do that. When we're here in the worship service and we mention somebody, we need to take note. But bear with me for one moment and just let me give you a suggestion. How about a time of dedicated prayer in which you grab that directory that Clay worked so hard on putting together for us? And in the back of that is simply a list of every member. How about a time you spend in prayer in which you go down that list and pray for every single one? No matter how old, no matter how young, no matter whether it is a rejoicing or a suffering, pray for every single person. And then add to that those that visit with us very regularly. They need our prayers and concern as well. And if that includes a confession of sin that someone has given you, you need to be praying about their strength. You need to be praying about their forgiveness, their restoration. You need to be going up out of your way to assist them in that. James 5:19, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. There is no better rejoicing than of the soul that repents. And we need to be engaging in that teaching and admonishing one another. Yes, in our Bible classes, but biblical discussions amongst each other are needful and helpful. Talking about one another's needs spiritually is helpful. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see, you can't leave it to whoever's teaching the Bible class or whoever's delivering the lesson to do all the teaching and all the admonishing. We are to participate together, fellowship together, in accomplishing that goal. And at the very least, we're doing that when we're singing. If we're paying attention to the words that we are reading off of the page and putting to a hymn, if we're paying attention to that, then we are teaching and admonishing one another. We are encouraging one another. I mean, just think about the idea of teaching through song. Ask some of the Bible class teachers about some of the songs they teach the little ones in the classes. Those songs are not just to entertain those kids and keep them occupied so they won't make a fuss. No, it is to teach them, to teach them some very important concepts. And song leaders, if someone comes to you and says, I sure would like it if we could sing this song, understand that that request may simply come out of a need for something that is said in that song. So take that request seriously. And we need to serve one another in love. I've mentioned this, but we think about Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, let each of you not look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have that mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Christians are service-minded. The strength of our fellowship with one another is an indicator of the strength of our fellowship with the Father in heaven. 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we need to engage in all the activities that support us in fellowship one with another in the body of Christ, serving the will of God. Fellowship is, as James 3:18 says, the fruit of righteousness. It is sown in peace by those that make peace. It is a spiritual blessing that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And it is a reward for those who are in Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Fellowship is a good thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is a beautiful thing. And we can have united minds, united activities in the service of our God together and accomplish His will here in this congregation. If you're here this morning, and you have a need to know more about Jesus, we'll certainly be happy to talk with you about Him. We have adopted Jesus as our identity. We are disciples of His. We mold our lives after His example and His teaching. And so if you don't know Jesus, we'll be happy to talk with you and share with you who He is from the pages of the revealed Word of God. If you know Jesus and you're ready to make a lifetime commitment to Him, a life of service, a life of sacrifice, but a very rewarding life, then we would like to assist you with that as well. You could be baptized today for the remission of sins, calling upon His name and committing yourself to Him. But if you've done those things and you realize maybe along the way your goals got a little off track, serving the Lord was not as important to you as it should have been, and thus you have wandered off into sin. It is time to repent. It is time to change. It is come back to the Lord so that we might all rejoice together. Song number 469 has been selected as an invitation song. If you have any of these spiritual needs, won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.